Well, good morning, Cedarville. It's good to see you this morning. How are we doing this morning? A little bit better. Remember the two-way conversation? And the reason I say that, here's the reason why. Faith is contagious. Faith is contagious. When you read through a scripture, you find faith is always contagious, and so is fear. And so what you respond out of is what creates the very culture around you. And so that's why we always have to be speaking faith, because we are people of faith. And so I wanted you to communicate with me, and let's have a good time today. And we're going to go back to 1 Peter chapter 2. Yesterday, I laid a theological groundwork down for you that we talked about, that you're more than just a what? More than just a rock, because every rock has a story, and God wants to use you in a story. But what happens in our life, and what I'm praying that God does through this kind of message over these past 2 days, is get rid of the number one thing that keeps you from living in your destiny and your purpose, and that is that you look at your life, and all you see are the cracks, all you see is the mud, all you see is the junk, all you see is the things that are not polished and not right. But God says, what I'm going to begin to do is I'm going to take some rocks, not made from human hand, but uncut rocks, rocks that are messed up, jacked up rocks, and I'm going to begin to use them to form a kingdom that's going to transform the whole entire world. That's who you are. Turn to somebody and say, that's who you are. So 1 Peter chapter 2, let's jump in as we deal with these feelings of inadequacy, insufficiency, and incompetency that keeps us from our destiny. 1 Peter 2, it says, verse 4, as you come to him being Jesus Christ, the living stone, he was rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him. You also, hit your neighbor, say, you also, are like living stones. And you're being built into something. You haven't arrived yet. You're not there yet. God's building you into something. He's shaping you. He's transforming you. He's building you into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Push your other neighbor, say, through Christ. Not through you. Not through you. Not through you. But through who? Christ. Come on. Then skip down to verse 9. But you are a chosen people. Wow, I praise God that he chose me. I want you to hear this. Some of you struggle with so many things. You weren't picked, you weren't chosen. Some of you have gone through abuse that I can't even imagine. But I want you to know God chose you because he loves you. When your dad didn't see anything in you, when your mom didn't see anything in you, when he didn't see anything in you, when she didn't see anything in you, God chose you because he loved you. You've been chosen. You've been chosen. You're chosen people. You're a royal priesthood. You're royalty. And you are a holy nation. You're God's special possession. You're more than just a rock to him. You're a special possession to him. So that, why? That you may declare. God has a purpose for you. God wants you to declare the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. God wants to use you to declare his praises around the world. God wants to use you to declare his greatness wherever you step into. Wherever you step into, it becomes a platform for you to praise God and give God glory, and for your life to be an example of what God can do. So that you may declare his praises as you were called out. And then he says, once you were not a people, and this is where we go back to Daniel 2, you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. He is shifting you together. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And so we left off yesterday with this big point, that your willingness to trust that God has enabled you to do what you feel unqualified to do is actually what qualifies you. So many times we enter in and we see the opportunities in front of us, but we talk ourselves out of those opportunities because we feel unqualified to do it. But what I want you to hear and begin to understand when you read the Word of God, that what actually qualifies you to do what you feel unqualified to do is you begin to take a step of faith and trust that God can accomplish what you feel unqualified to do. That's what qualifies you. It's all about your faith and trusting in what God wants to do through you. And so I want to take three words that I feel are powerful and speak into you, because I believe these words speak to what we just talked about and really will give you an encouragement. The first word is potential. Say potential. potential. Good job. You're getting this. Your potential is not determined by what you can do. You see, when the world talks about potential, it talks about how great you are. What is your potential? And you line all your strengths up over here and your weaknesses over here, and you take strength finders or whatever Enneagram that you want to get into or what color you are, and you put it all together and say, here's where I'm really qualified, but here's where I'm not qualified. And you begin to think that what qualifies you and what enables you is your ability to do certain things very, very well. But that's not in God's economy. That's not how God works. That what enables you to do what you need to do is that God wants to work through you. Through you. That this is what Peter is getting at. God wants to do something through you, and be through you, God wants to accomplish the miraculous. God wants to accomplish the supernatural. It's not about who you are or what you can do. Praise God. What gives us the ability to do it is what God wants to do through you. That's the power of it. It's not about you and your ability. If you would begin to grasp this, I'm telling you, it would begin to free you to walk in the very thing that God has for you. It's never about you. And just to kind of break it to you, it never really has been about you. It's only been about Jesus Christ. But when you center your life around him, he says, that's when you make yourself open for me to work through you. And through you, I want to accomplish the supernatural. I want to accomplish the miraculous. But here's what the devil does. He's an accuser. So what he begins to do is he convinces you that you are incapable to do the very thing that God has called you to do. And so you start looking at your weaknesses and your insufficiencies and your inadequacies, and you begin to think, well, I'm not qualified to do this. And so I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll begin to work really, really hard and try to become better at all my insufficiencies. And once I learn more, once I clean up my life a little bit more, once I do a little bit more, then I'll be qualified to do what God has called me to do. And here's why that is so sinister. You never get to that point. And I'll prove it. General Reno, can you stand up for me? 3-star general, thank you for serving our country. Can we just celebrate his service to our country? Thank you. He's one of the most incredible leaders I know. Listen, you realize this guy has more power. No, stand up, sir. I'm sorry. Stand up, sir. He has had more power than probably anyone in this room will ever have. I'll never be a 3-star general that controls and influences the Air Force. Think of all the power he had. I mean, all the military might. Here's General Reno. So, General Reno, let me ask you this question. Did you ever feel unqualified to do what you were called to do?
Every single assignment.
Hold on. Whoa, 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 whoa. You look like you got it put together. You look like it would take a genius to do all that. You mean you felt unqualified to do what you were called to do?
Except in Christ.
Wow. What would have happened if you would have not done what you felt God calling you to do? Until you felt qualified to do it.
I never would have gotten there.
Thank you, sir. You can be seated. If you wait until you're qualified to do what God is calling you to do, you'll never do it. You'll always feel unqualified. I'll give another example. Dr. White, can you please stand? El Presidente.
Last time speaker in chapel.
But I serve on the Board of Trustees.
Yeah, but they gave me the authority to pick the chapel speakers, so it's nice knowing you.
I always submit. Yeah. Dr. White, you're one of the most incredible leaders I know. You have an ability to speak vision and create vision more than anybody else I know. You can dream of things, think of things, and you have the skill set to design and craft the very vision that God has given you. You're an incredibly anointed man. So when I look at you, I see the complete package. I see you're a great father, you're a great husband, you're a great leader, you're a great president, you're a great friend, you're a great man of God. What one day I want to achieve what you are, maybe God could never use me until I get to the level you are, because you look like you have it all together. I mean, surely you feel confident to do what you're called to do. You never struggle with inadequacies or insufficiencies. You never struggle with anything because you're perfect. I mean, you are absolutely perfect. That's how we see you. No. Come on. Isn't that how we see him? I mean, look, yes. Somebody said, just look at the hair. I mean, he has it. So I'm just curious that we vision in our mind, we could never be used because, I mean, after all, God only uses people like Dr. White. So Dr. White, did you ever feel unqualified to do what you're doing?
So the Bible tells us the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? So that's my heart. And I'm supposed to stand up there and preach the word that I fell at every single day. And I'm supposed to lead 3,000 plus students who honestly, when you sing, I think sometimes you love the Lord more than I do. And I'm supposed to sit up here? Are you kidding me? Like, my first thought is you need to meet more people if you think all those things about, and you need glasses. But gosh, if we don't have a humility about who we are and realize we can only do it in Christ, that prideful arrogance will tear us down.
Absolutely.
So yeah, every day. Every single day.
I want you to hear this. Because you really think, so many of you really think, God can't use you until you feel qualified. That's how he traps you. That's how he takes the very breath, the destiny that God has given you, and he makes you just sit on the sidelines week after week, year after year, and you end up wasting your life because you look at like Dr. White and you go, I can never do that, I can never achieve that, I can never get there because he's so smart, he has it all together. He never struggles with these things. He never struggles with inadequacy. He never struggles like he is a failure. He never struggles with those things. And the reality is he struggles. Just like you, just like me. But what qualifies you is not, hey, one day I feel qualified, because you'll never get there. You'll never arrive. What qualifies you is what Jen Arino and Dr. White talked about. God, use me. Use me. Use me. Thank you, Dr. White. Thank you. You see, when you speak of your problems, God speaks of your potential. All the time. When you try to convince God of all the things you can't do, he reminds you of all the things that Christ can do through you. He will always point to potential, because he knows that if you can begin to see your potential through Christ Jesus, not through you, but through what Christ wants to do through you, you are poised to begin to be used by God in a mighty way. That's the awakening. That's when revival starts to happen. That's when change starts to happen. You'll never get to an area of feeling qualified. It won't happen. You will always feel insufficient. You'll always feel like, who am I? And you begin to speak truth into that, because what did Peter say? He says, the way we're going to fight this is you got to praise God. He says, you're a chosen people. You're God's special possession. Declare the praises of God. You know what you do in praise? You lift up the name of Jesus Christ and you declare how great he is. And when you begin to do that, you get your focus off of your insufficiencies and upon the sufficiency of Christ Jesus. And that's what changes everything. That's what, come on, celebrate the goodness of God. That's the power of God. And so Peter says, hey, you have to begin to understand who you really are, that God wants to work through you. So it's all about that potential, but the potential has a process, Write this word down. Process is the second word. Process. Shout process. 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 Peter says something interesting. He says, God's building something. I wish he wouldn't have said that. Because I don't want things built. I want them instant. And here's why you know that. How many of you wish Chick-fil-A was already here today? You don't want it built. You want it now. Dr. White, I want it now. I want it now. I want Chick-fil-A now. I want it now. In fact, they get it this week, right? Today, is it today you get Chick-fil-A? I'm a prophet and didn't even know it right there. It's a process. And so here's what begins to happen. So God was speaking to your potential of who you could be. But what the evil one will begin to try to take away is he'll try to remind you that you'll never get to that area of potential and never get into the area that God wants to bring you into because you'll forget the process. You'll forget the process. Dr. White, can I use you one more time? I'm sorry. Dr. White and I have always dreamed about preaching a sermon together, tag teaming. So this is the closest we've gotten, my brother. So here's what happens. You can stand right here.
Do I need this?
You don't need it.
Okay.
Unless you want it. I mean, you're president. You can do anything, anything you want, sir.
Apparently not, or I wouldn't be up here, but go ahead.
So what God does is he speaks of your potential. And I'm going to use you personally because I know you. We've been friends for, what, 23 years now, hasn't it?
That's right. 97.
Yeah. 97. I was there the day he got ordained. I was in his little church in South Carolina the day he got ordained. And God began to put a vision in him very early on that he was going to use him in a way to influence people. He had no clue what I was going to be like when it happened. But God gave him a vision. The Lord will always give you a vision of your potential. He'll always put something out there and say, this is where I want to lead you. This is where I want to take you. And so he'll put it out here. And what you will do is you'll be over here, okay? You're way over here and you're looking at all your insufficiencies and your inadequacies and all the things that you have. And God gives you a vision of what one day you could be. And so as you start going forward, God says, hey, I have something for you out here. But as you go forward, the evil one will begin to come to you and say, you'll never reach that. You'll always struggle with this. You'll always mess up with this. You'll never be smart enough. You'll never be good enough. You'll never clean up your life enough. You'll never get there. You'll never get there. You'll never get there. You'll never get there. And what begins to happen is you're looking at the length of it and you're saying, there's no way, there's no way, there's no way. And God says, yes, there is. There's a process. There's a process. I can't instantly get you here because you know what? There's some things you're going to have to go through in order to get you to the place I want to take you. There's some pride I got to bring in to rip out of you. There's some anger issues I got to rip out of you. There's some brokenness I got to begin to trim off of you. There's some things I got to begin to restore within you. I got to begin to mold you together and put you together. I'm building something here, but it's going to take a little time. It's going to take a little time, but we don't like time because we want instantaneous success. We want instantaneous production. We want instantaneous sanctification. We want instantaneous, woo, I'm arrived. But you can't get there overnight. It's a process. But God will give you a vision of what could be in the evil one. I hate him. He takes the vision that God has given you, the purpose, the dream that God has planted within you, and begins to twist it and begin to convince you that the process is too long, it's taking too long, it's too difficult, and so you stop. And you just go, fine. I'll just settle. And I want you to hear my heart. I'm tired of people settling. There is a kingdom we're a part of. And you play a part in it. And yeah, it's going to be a process. But maybe the whole point is the process. Maybe what God wants you to do is he puts his vision in you. Just continue to rely upon him and trust in him to end up in the place he wants you to be at. Because as I've seen Dr. White's life, I've seen him on highs and I've seen him on lows. I've seen him at times where he has just been broken, and I've seen him on times where he's just, whew, everything's great. But I've seen God use him and mold him and shape him so that he is the person he is today. What would have happened, though, if he would have given up back here? I'll tell you what would have happened. He wouldn't be standing here as your president. And what would your life have been like without Dr. White's influence? That's the trick. That's the ploy the evil one's trying to mess with you on. And so you have to begin to say, God, I know it's going to be a process, but I'm going to stick in the process. And God, I'm going to keep pursuing, and I'm going to keep hoping, and I'm going to keep living. And yes, God, I'm going to fail. And yes, God, there's going to be times I'm going to do things. And yes, God, there's going to be times where I'm living for you and times when I'm not living for you. And God, but I want you to know my heart, my posture is I want more of you, and I'm going to keep going, and I'm going to keep believing, and I'm going to keep trusting, because God, I know you're going to take me exactly where I need to be. So God, I'm living for you, and I'm trusting in you. That's the power of the process. Thank you, Dr. White, for sticking with the process. Because God is using you now. Thank you. The thing about processes is that it takes a while. So turn to your neighbor, give him a big shove. I mean a big shove. Say, it's going to take a while. It's going to take a while. Now you decide to talk. Now you decide to start chatting. It's going to take a while. So don't give up on the process. You're going to have days where you're going to struggle. You're going to have days when you feel insufficient. You're going to have days where it seems so far away from the place that God wants to bring you. But you got to remind yourself, whoa, 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 whoa. He's building something. In fact, Peter says something even more incredible in chapter 1. He says he's birthing you into a living new hope. There's some words I wish he wouldn't have used. I wish he would have said, God is giving you a new hope. But no, it says he's birthing you into a new hope. And here's what I know after seeing my wife give birth to 4 kids. Birthing ain't easy. You can tweet that. Birthing ain't easy. There's a lot of screaming, a lot of pain, a lot of heartache that goes in birthing. But you know what happens? As soon as the baby comes out, it changes the very atmosphere of the room. In that one moment, pain becomes, wow, it was worth it. The process is going to be hard, but I want you to hear this. It's worth it, and he's going to work through you. But he has to take you through some things to get you to the place you need to be. He's going to take you through some things. And as he does that, there's potential and there's process. My last word I want you to hear is the word confidence. 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 Shout confidence.
Confidence.
That your confidence is never in what you can handle, but what God can do. But what happens, there's one thing that God is after in your life more than anything else, and that's to strengthen your faith. So in order to strengthen your faith, he has to bring you to places and circumstances where you can't do what you want to do. That he'll bring you to places that are bigger than you, greater than you, so that he will teach you that it's not about you. In order, we all go, God, I don't want it to be about me. I don't want it to be about me. I don't want it to be about me. So he says, okay, I know. And that's what I want you for you as well. So in order for that to be the case, I'm going to have to bring you to a place where you're going to have to be pushed to the point that you realize you can't handle this. So you say, I can't do this. So you can begin to cry, it's not about me. But we don't want that. It gets back to the process. But God says, I'm going to have to do some things in your life in order to give you a confidence, not in you, but in me. And in order to do that, he has to bring you to something that you can't handle because he wants to show you what you can't handle, he can. One of the things I pray over and over in my life is, God, I don't want to be a part of something that can be explained. That's my heart. I don't want to be a part of something to explain. I don't want someone to look at my life and my ministry and go, well, he was a great communicator. He did this, he did this, he did this. Of course that happened. I want them to look at my life and go, that's some backwoods crazy kid born in the hood of Lake Helen, Florida. And God used him? How did he do it? And my answer would be, because it wasn't me, but what God did through me. But in order to do that, you have to be brought to points that you can't explain. But the difficulty is, when you can't handle something, when you feel inadequate in something, when you feel insufficient in something, your first response is to try to take control of the very thing that you feel insufficient to do. I need somebody who's big. I'm talking like a 6'3", big, like, hey, you might have been drafted for an offensive lineman. Any like big guy, defensive line guy. I mean, anybody, come on. Come on, stand up. Come here. Wow, you're a big guy. Come on. Yeah. What's your name?
David.
David, thank you.
Yeah, I know.
All right. Your parents had a sense of humor, right?
They did.
All right. David, I know this is going to sound kind of weird, but can I tie you up?
Go for it.
All right. I had his permission. You got that on video. So here's what happens. David, hold that for me. I don't want to get dizzy. David, what year are you in?
I'm a senior.
A senior. Wow. What are you studying?
Mechanical engineering.
Ooh. All right. So here's what happens in our lives. When you're in a situation where you don't know what to do, you want to try to control it. Every one of us want to control it. So what we end up doing so many times in our life is that we go to God and we enter into prayer and we go to God and our requirement is, now don't move.
Okay.
Our thing is, God, I need you to do this because I don't feel I can do this. So God, come on, God. Come on, God, please. I'll go to church more. I'll give more. Not even giving, God? Okay. God, I'll clean up my life more. Come on, God. I can't do that. God, I got a better plan of how this needs to work out. I got a better plan of how I want this to work. God, come on. Do it my way, God. My. God, come on. I tell you, just if you would do it my way one time, come on. Most of you, this is how you enter prayer and how you go through the Christian life. This is exhausting. He's God. Not you, David, you're representing him. I don't want to be sacrilegious at this point. But we come in here and we go, come on. And what if we switched it, though? You see, we think our confidence comes in our ability to plan our own lives and plan our own strategy and plan where we want to go. And our confidence comes in our ability to handle the situation, because when we do not feel, when we feel we're inadequate, our temptation is to try to control something in order to become confident in something. And so we'll try to control it and manipulate it. And some of you are manipulating relationships because you want to feel loved. Some of you are manipulating people because you want to be accepted. And you go to God and you think you can manipulate him the same way you manipulated people around you. Some of you come in and you're woe is me, and you try to make everybody else feel sorry for you. And so now you go to God and say, God, I don't know this. I'm a senior and I still haven't met anybody. Woe is me. Life is horrible. I never amount to anything. So God, just do it my way. For some of you, your anger, man, you let your anger come out all the time because that's what, I'm going to do this. And you go through life and you keep trying to tell God what to do, because ultimately you can't control it. And when you can't control it, you try to control it and you make God, you want God to control it and do it your way. Over and over in my life, I feel like God's given me a vision that God wants me to be part of an incredible movement of God. But many times God doesn't move the way I want him to move. And so I want to force him. God, do it my way. And I feel like such a failure because things aren't happening my way. And God, if you would just do it my way, it would be easier. God. And then we just go, I'm done. Some of you are on the verge of walking away from the faith. And the reason is because you've been trying to control God and he's not doing what you want and you're disappointed, you're angry, and you're mad. Because you're going, God, I thought I'd be out of this by now. I thought this would happen. And God, I just, I'm struggling. But what if you got it all wrong? What if the whole point was not, God, let me control you? But what if the whole point was that you finally just started letting God be God? You can step out of it, David. Just be careful. What if God, turn this way. You are tall, bro. What if God wants you to come with your failures, your inadequacies, your insufficiencies? God, I don't have a lot, but what I do have, I give to you. So God, I don't know where you're going to lead me. And I don't know what it's going to look like. And God, I don't feel capable to do anything. But God, I want you to know I'm placing my life on you. So God, you lead where you want to lead. God, yeah, I would like to get that new job and get promoted and go to that work and climb the corporate ladder and do that. God, I want to do that. But God, here's what I want you to know. My confidence is not in me and what I can do. My confidence is in God. What do you want to do through me? So God, whatever job you want, I'm trusting you. I believe you're going to lead me to the right job. And God, I'm going to hold on to you and I'm going to keep working hard. And I'm going to keep praying hard. But God, I want you to know the foundation of my life is you got this, God. And God, yeah, I feel called to ministry, but I don't know what that looks like, God. And I feel like a failure so many times. And God, I don't understand. And I thought I'd be further along now than I am. And God, I'm just struggling. But I want you to know, God, I want you to know. I'm just a rock. But a rock in your hands can do powerful things. Because God, all David had was a rock and he took down a giant. And God, they put a rock over the tomb. And you bore the rock and you took it away because you created a resurrection. And so God, you have a way to take crazy little rocks and do supernatural things through them. And so God, wherever you want to go, you lead. And whatever you want to do, you do. Because God, I trust you. And what you begin to find is if you place your life as a rock in the hands of the living God, he says, I will take the rock and I will lead you. Because start walking, David. I don't care where you want to walk, just rock. Because God says, I will take you, I will lead you, I will give you strength, I'll give you power, I will be your hope, I'll be your foundation, I will be your guidance. I will give you wisdom, I'll give you love, I'll give you peace, I'll give you forgiveness, I'll give you rest, I'll give you joy, I will give you, I know what I'm doing, even when it seems crazy, I'm taking you to a place I have for you, because my plan for you is not to hurt you, but to prosper you. I plan to give you hope, I plan to give you a new beginning, I plan to give you goodness and power and glory. I want to show you how good I really am. Amen. So I'm going to keep moving, and I'm going to keep walking, and I'm going to keep trusting, and I'm going to keep believing. And God, I don't know how I'm going to get there, and I don't know how this is going to look like, because God, I know that my failures, I'm a failure, but I thank you that on the cross you took my failures, you took my sin, you took my shame. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, that you've given me life, you've given me hope, you've given me redemption, you've given me goodness. And God, I'm holding on, and you've taken me a crazy way to get here, but God, I'm believing by faith that where you take me is exactly where I need to be, God. And so I place him, all of me, into your hands. Thank you, God. Will you pray with me? Come on. Will you just at this moment confess, God, I'm just a rock. But God, I'm taking my rock that I am and I'm placing it in your hands. God, I want you to lead me. I'm trusting in you. And so, God, I thank you that you already have a plan for me. I thank you that you already have somewhere you want to bring me. I thank you that you see my rough edges and you still use me anyways. I thank you that you know there's a little dirt on me. You know there's some brokenness in me. You know there's some things that have been done to me. But God, I want to thank you that as I follow you, you're going to begin to deal with those and heal those and bring me to where I need to be. Because God, it's not about me. It's about you, and it's about what you want to do through me. And so God, I'm living by faith, not in me, but I'm living by faith in my Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm living by faith in the one who died for me, for the one who rose again for me, the one who gave his life for me. And I know you're for me if you die for me. And I know you have the power to do the impossible if you rose from the grave for me. And so God, I want to thank you in advance. I can't wait to see what you're about to do. And so God, I want to be the world changer you destined me to be. And so God, I give all of me to all of you, believing that I might just be a rock, but if I'm a rock in the hand of the living God, I can do the miraculous. I can walk in the supernatural. I can do the unexplainable, because if you are for me, who in hell itself can stand against me? So God, I'm living in the fullness of who I am as a child of the living God, resting my foundation of my life, the very structure of my life in you. And God, I know it's going to be a process, but I'm in this for the long haul. I'm believing that you're going to take me exactly where I need to be, and I'm going to arrive exactly when I need to arrive. And I thank you that you have this whole thing figured out, because you deserve all the praise and all the glory and all the accolation, because it's all about you, Jesus Christ, for the praise of your name and for the nations. In the name of Christ we pray, and God's people shouted, come on. Give him 5 seconds of praise before you get out of this place. I love you. Thank you. God bless.